Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Saleh for Guidelines for Living.
Should you ever have the opportunity of visiting ancient Corinth, there is an out-of-the-way, seldom-seen-by-tourist place that makes what Paul wrote to the Corinthians much more meaningful. Remember his comments about those who run in a race should run in such a way as to gain the prize? If your guide really knows his geography, he can take you to the place near the Corinthian Canal where the Isthmian Games were held every 2 years. Paul was a master at bringing home spiritual truths in such a way that his readers could readily identify with them. The Isthmian Games were a forerunner of the modern Olympics, and the Greeks loved their athletes who were venerated as basketball, soccer, and football stars are today. Everyone who competes in the Games, wrote Paul, goes into strict training. It's still true. The old adage, no pain, no gain, speaks in subdued tones of the discipline, the long hours of training, the hardships day after day, so an athlete is ready when the day comes to compete. Using the same analogy, the writer of Hebrews said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Athletes still use some of the basic training techniques that the Greeks used. To strengthen their muscles, they would often carry heavy weights or strap them on their legs. But when the day of the race came, they took off everything that was non-essential. Now, both Paul and the writer of Hebrews likened your walk with the Lord to the race run by the athlete. It has a starting point that is your conversion, and it has a terminus when you meet the Lord. In this contest, the writer says that you are to rid yourself of two things: the weights that slow you down, and the sins which, like a heavy garment, keep you from being at your best. If every word is significant, then there's a reason why two words, weights and sins, are used. Understanding the difference provides insights for us today. The first word, agkos, in Greek, means a weight, a burden, or an impediment, anything that really keeps you from walking with the Lord. Something that in and of itself is not wrong. But it becomes wrong in relationship to keeping you from doing your best, from doing the will of God. The second word, harmartia, means just what it suggests, sin. It meant missing the mark, falling short of a goal or target. It was the same word that Jesus used when Luke recorded his comments on prayer, as Jesus said we should pray, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us." The writer says, get rid of whatever keeps you from being at your best, including what you clearly know is wrong, that's sin. So how do you do it? First, you make the decision that anything that keeps you from giving of your best to the Master has to go. Jesus said you can't serve two masters, which is what you're trying to do. Doesn't work. You never succeed with a schizophrenic approach to Christianity. If Jesus Christ be the one he claimed to be, serve him with all of your heart. Then confess and forsake what the Bible calls sin. God's promise is still in effect, as he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Staying focused, renewing your determination, and hanging in there day after day is what it takes to win. It's true running a race and living the Christian life.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening. And join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.